Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net. Monday's Outcast World. Hello, it's Graham Smith. Later on today's episode, we're going to be talking to the comedian, the writer and the broadcaster, Leila Navabi. She's the one that told us if you're ever in need of a syringe from Boots, just tell them that you've got a big dog.
If it, people are like, how do you get a syringe? I'm like, just go to Boots and tell them you've got a big dog. You need a few medicine too, they'll give you one. It's amazing.
On today's episode.
Like most gay men apparently go vote reform. Have you not heard about this?
Yeah, oh, babe, I've seen them. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of mad. Like, what are you doing? Like, girl, this is not, they don't care about you. They're never going to love you. Like,
queer politics.
When Farage says jump, Labour might say how high.
And it's not true. It's offering people false hope.
Sex.
Dating apps have become a breeding ground for the worst of human behaviours.
And culture.
What do you want, homie? We get together, we be simple. Simple. Be simple for me.
He will, like, go nosh himself off.
This is Outcast World.
First, what the fuck is happening with British politics? Yes, the world is on fire, and the Labour Party that thought it could navigate its way through this has discovered that it can't. Right now, Labour feels like a government, a kind of like entering its post-mortem phase. Keir Starmer doesn't feel like a very long-term prime minister at the moment, does he? He feels like the janitor that the boss is about to empty out the side door. And circling around this spectacle of the janitor who's forgotten what day it is, you've got Wes Streeting, who absolutely thought this was going to be Wes Streeting's year, the year of the Streeting. So whatever your opinions about Wes Streeting, mine aren't great. I mean, what gay man is rude about trans people and then decides to be elected in a centre-left party? Don't understand that. The thing about Wes Streeting, the thing that I notice about Wes Streeting is the more visible Wes Streeting becomes, the more people seem to just dislike him. It's not a case of people need to see more of you. It's a case of actually people are probably better off not seeing you at all. Every media appearance feels kind of focus grouped to within an inch of its life. Like, do you remember when he went on to tell other members of the cabinet, supposedly briefing against Keir Starmer, that they shouldn't and they should stop watching whatever it was about the celebrity traitors? Did you see that? And he had the same line that he used on every single TV show in the same morning.
Someone in Downing Street has been watching too much Celebrity Traitors, and this is just about the most appalling attack on a faithful I've seen since Joe Marler was banished from the fire.
Whoever's been briefing this has been watching too much Celebrity Traitors, and this is just about the worst attack on a faithful I've seen since Joe Marler was kicked out and banished in the final. Yeah, I think they have been watching too much Celebrity Traitors, and what's happened to me overnight is the most unjustified attack on a faithful since Joe Marler was banished in the final.
Like, he had a line and he needed to get that out. Did he think no one would connect the dots and it wouldn't look really fucking cringe? Every media experience this super hyper focused is going to lead to a point where people think that this person isn't particularly real.
So I went back to my old secondary school last week, and one of my teachers helpfully reminded me that in his first lesson as a teacher at the school, I'd said I really need to get good grades to go to university so I could be prime minister.
And politically, Streeting has managed to position himself into one of the worst places imaginable, repeatedly escalating anti-trans rhetoric, such as puberty blockers for trans teenagers. Now, the results of the removal of these and the closing down of a lot of NHS medical pathways for trans youth has been a major increase in suicides of trans people, yet the Department for Health under Wes Streeting has hidden this. So repeatedly escalating anti-trans rhetoric whilst claiming to be sensible sounds like a politician trying to distance himself in a lot of ways from the consequences of his own language over the course of the last couple of years. Meanwhile, Andy Burnham is back. It's difficult to find out what Andy Burnham thinks about a lot of things. At the moment, he's hovering about like the northern final boss of politics. He says he's here to save the Labour Party. It sounds like when Chris Moyles went to Radio 1. So if Burnham wins in Makerfield, That's an area where reform surged to nearly 50%. Now, that is quite a mountain to overcome, isn't it? If he can win there, that is suddenly very important. So that Makerfield by-election is going to do two things. It's going to test whether or not reform can be beaten, and it's going to potentially put a new leader in charge of the Labour Party. It's absolutely pivotal. The line put out to everyone in Makerfield is, vote Labour, get rid of Starmer, which is a bizarre line, but that seems to be the way things are going. If Burnham can punctuate Farage's really weird, and it is weird, why does it exist? His hold over the northern working class, and he's got absolutely nothing in common with them. I'm talking about Farage here. Labour immediately has a route back into the conversation. And there's already rumours swirling that elements of the Greens would rather work with Burnham than watch reform grow unchecked. Guardian readers, you'll have seen this. They've been hinting in various columns there, some of the columnists, at these sort of versions of this for ages: progressive alliances, electoral reform, tactical pressure, proportional representation. All of a sudden it's back on the table, and I'm hearing that the Greens, no one in the Green Party said this to me, but it's more from what I've been reading, the Greens might not put someone against Burnham in Makerfield in order to allow him into Parliament to get proportional representation. And if they do that, will Burnham stick to his word, or will he shaft them? With proportional representation, the Labour Party will never govern on its own ever again. Because once reform starts breaking the traditional system, everybody starts realising that the traditional system is pretty fucked as it stands. And speaking of reform, the councillors, they are dropping like flies. I know a few Green councillors dropped out, but they were for things like, was a teacher in the borough, can't have two jobs. In reform's case, there's a load of different reasons, including one, facing allegations of social media posts that are allegedly sympathetic to Nazi imagery and rhetoric. There appears to be receipts, though. Here's what happened when he was sort of stopped and asked a very basic question by ITV News.
You're not going to do any interviews?
No.
Do you want to clear up that Nazi stuff?
No, no, I don't. Right, everyone, when my email's on the website, get it from there, email me, and we'll sort something out.
It's just that you have been accused of being a Nazi sympathiser.
I'm not.
So you deny that then?
It's a bit like watching David Brent in The Office, isn't it? Except with kind of Nazi allegations hanging over him. And again, what I will say about this is it reminds me a bit of the Manosphere. At the moment you come at this one of these young men with the most basic line of questioning, they just collapse like a flan in a cupboard. Another one of them has ended up, this is a lot less serious, and we don't like to slut shame on this show, but this is, well, it's interesting. LBC have exposed another councillor in the Northwest for operating a gay porn OnlyFans account involving public sex content. And when you're standing for a party that one of your MPs has said wants to return Britain not to the 1950s, but to before that. But look, there's various degrees of allegations and seriousness there, obviously. Politically, it is a pattern, though, isn't it? It's a party that constantly markets itself as like the last line of moral common sense, while simultaneously attracting candidates who are collapsing under a cursory Google of scrutiny. Like, I thought you'd sorted out the process by which you sort of we're selecting candidates. What's gone on? Have you even had a Zoom call? It's mental. On the subject of the Manosphere, but before we get into the chat with Leila Navabi, HS Tiki Toki unravelling, that was fun. That seems to be the thing this week. Young men with big egos unravelling. So HS Tiki Toki kind of unravels under basic journalistic questioning, and it's honestly been extraordinary to watch. Like, Louis Theroux barely even raised his voice, and suddenly, like, the entire alpha male, this is on the Manosphere documentary, the entire alpha male performance started to look like Year 11 Media Studies project held together with a bit of protein powder and a burner phone. The whole Manosphere ecosystem, mentioning no names on this particular point, just feels like fundamentally fraudulent. It's like aggression masquerading as ideology until your mum offers you a fruit shoot. It's fucking stupid. Like, it's dominance rituals performed for lonely young men online, and then you get to the Grindr stuff. Like, these guys are obsessed with Grindr. HS Tiki Toki is quite obsessed with Grindr. It featured in the Louis Theroux documentary, didn't it? I don't know if you've seen it, where they lured a gay man to a meeting in public, claimed he was a predator based on evidence we were never given, on the basis of wanting to meet a man in his 20s. Lured him to a situation and then beat him up on a live stream, took the live stream down, disseminated the clips and used it as content. It's genuinely fucking grim. And now there's the HS Tiki Toki piece of camera or whatever, live streaming or whatever the fuck he does. Where he's got Grindr on his phone. Now, maybe it means something. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's business. Maybe it's personal. Maybe it's none of our business. Who knows? But when your entire public persona revolves around sort of like hyper-masculinity, policing sexuality, and in one case, beating up a gay man for going on a meet off Grindr, the internet's going to start noticing the connections quickly. I love how on this clip he goes, a lot of girls have been on. They're all girls, by the way.
I saw the clip go viral as well of me opening up fucking Grindr on this phone. I got sent it by many, many girls.
It's so fucking weird. The excuses were even madder. Like, he could have said, you've seen the Louis Theroux doc, I've used it for content, boom, end of story, we've seen the receipt. But he doesn't, because put under the basic bit of scrutiny, he falls apart. And he starts to go, oh, well. And he pursues some sort of vendetta. Some person used to work for me. It's an old phone, a business phone, but still logged into...
Let me clarify that clip right now. This is a work phone. This phone was actually used by... Okay, I'm not going to say anything, but this was his personal phone while he worked with the company. He has now left the company. We've left on good terms, and he is now stripping in Platinum Lace in Mayfair. Okay, if you want to go see him and talk to him, he's in Platinum Lace Strip Club in Mayfair, earning $1,000 to $2,000 a night. But I'm going to leave it right there. Okay, I don't use this phone. So any material on this phone does not belong to me, Harrison Sullivan.
Someone else's account. It's him that downloaded Grindr. Anyway, he doesn't work for me now. He dances for $2,000 a night in Mayfair. Again, a cursory Google reveals that not a single man dances there. So it's fucking bullshit. It's nonsense. Everything's content. You know this. Everything is outrage. Everything is performance until a bit of scrutiny lands on them. And then, mummy, can I have a fruit shoot? I don't want a fruit shoot. Anyway, before civilization fully collapses, here is my chat with the stand-up comic, absolute fucking legend, Leila Navabi, on her DIY pregnancy. That sounded... It's good. Watch this.
Queer politics, sex, and culture. Outcast World.
The show, everyone loves it. Like, four... Let me hear it. Four stars almost everywhere. Don't ask for more details, other than three from Time Out. Sorry, three from Time Out. But four stars everywhere. The Guardian loved it.
Do you know that review?
Time Out can fuck off.
That Time Out review is so funny, because it goes, if you've read, I don't know if you've read it.
Sweetly Ramshackle, like, is all I've got from it.
Yeah, I fell over in the first bit of the show. I literally, I fell. Oh my God, it was the first free, like the first show for reviewers. We had a few reviews, like thankfully everyone else who came to that show gave it four and spared the details of me falling over. But I think it was Andrei Lukowski, whose work I actually really like as a critic. I find his stuff really insightful. It's a really lovely review, but he's like, Leila did fall over and hurt herself quite badly, and it was almost comical, and it just was very distracting when she fell over. I wish she hadn't fallen over. And I was like, I'm sorry,
fucking take it out.
Like, baby girl,
forget about it.
Yeah. You relax, it's fine. He mentioned to me falling over.
It would have been fine, but she did fall over, guys.
She did fall over. Yeah, he really hated it when I fell over. Poor fuck, he really hated it. He wanted me to not fall. It's really funny. The review is funny. I'm like, oh, I can't believe me falling over has cost me a blooming star. But
bloody star.
Bloody star, it's all right. They've got plenty of other stars from other publications.
Yeah, I'll take one from
it's
another
all right.
One.
I'm in The Guardian with the pretty good writer. I'm fine.
They bloody love it as well, don't they? And if The Guardian loves it, I'm a classic, and it sounds ridiculous and it annoy myself. I'm a classic Guardian Easter. If The Guardian said it, I'm like, here for it. Love The Guardian. Time Out.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a biscuit. Sounds like a cheap biscuit from Sainsbury. I think it is. Take a break.
Do you like a Time Out biscuit? Do they still exist? I've not seen one of them.
They were
time.
A biscuit, weren't they, Time Out? But
they
were like two fingers.
Yeah.
Something awful like
time
that. They look
out,
a really
God,
shit
time
Kit Kat.
Time Out is so funny to me. Time Out, I was on... So this is another fun little gem about Time Out. Can't wait for this to come out. I can hear everyone I know and work with being like, don't talk about this. You shouldn't talk about this ever. I just think it's very funny. The first Edinburgh show I did, which actually it got a very good... A very like, crazy reception. We're talking five stars for that one. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge coming to the show and, you know, all of these
that.
crazy things.
My
debut show went down a treat. I was very, very lucky. Time Out came and, oh my God, she hated it. It was a different reviewer this time. But she'd interviewed me a couple of weeks prior, and I was on the front of Time Out that week, being like, the new comics to look out for. And then this person had like done an interview with me, and then she came to the show, gave me a hug afterwards, and then wrote me the most horrid review. It's like,
psychology behind that?
I don't know. She was like, Layla's trying to talk about, I didn't understand it, and it was annoying, and she kept talking about political things, and I'm like, I didn't say that's what I was going to do. That review's also funny. So a Time Out I have a sordid history with. They took very hot pictures of me, which I'm grateful for. I look great in that Time Out cover shoot. Little did I know.
It's all that matters. Who's going to read the details? It's how you look on that front cover. It's all anyone's going to remember. That's all I'm saying.
I remember it. And now I'm about to, like, I'm digging it up. But it's fine.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've got that much cultural impact.
One day, Time Out will give me a good review, and it will be the best day of my life. And
that'll
be
when I don't associate with shit biscuits.
No more shit biscuits. I like a Time Out. That Time Outs have changed. They used to have a bit of chocolate in the middle. Do you remember, like, a flaky type thing in the middle?
Yeah, I do. They had an extra bit, didn't they?
Yeah, they got rid of that.
And then the chocolate tasted like, I don't know. And it didn't taste like the
papery,
full.
It was papery, wasn't it? It was weird.
Yeah, is it one of them ones that says chocolate flavoured and not chocolate? And that's the technicality, because it's like,
that, isn't it?
Yeah. Just made of like margarine.
Allegedly, don't sue us.
Margarine and gravel, apparently, is what they're made of. That's a joke, by the way.
I love margarine, actually.
Not such a big fan.
Good to know.
I want to pick up just a couple of, before we wrap up, a couple of bits from your past. It's nothing bad. It's just like I like to just work out little bits around. A few final questions. So you
Somebody
can't hang up.
School with said that you were a bitch. Imagine.
They're on the line now.
They're on the line. Bring them in.
You were outed as a teenager, weren't you? And you left Cardiff. Now that's not a minor thing. That's a rupture. How much of everything you make is still in conversation with that? I feel for that. I'm from Liverpool, left Liverpool, moved back to Liverpool later on. And there's a funny relationship with you have. Yeah, I don't live there now, but like when you go back to where your hometown just for a bit, I think it's so complex. I'm always interested in hearing that angle. But tell me about that. It's not a minor thing. It's a kind of defining thing, isn't it?
No, it's definitely a defining thing. I think for me, the craziest thing has been Cardiff has become like a queer epicentre now.
I've heard,
There is so much going on, which is crazy because growing up here did not feel like that. I used to go to like artsy cafes to try and like queer spot, I used to call it, like to myself, just like to see other gay people in real life, because I was not aware of any gay people that in my life at all. And I was like, I don't know, I just felt drawn to like see these people in the flesh. I also say, to me, it was like, you know, like when you're a kid and you see New York in all the films and you're like, I know New York exists, but how could I ever have a parameter of that because I've never been there? That's how I felt about gay people, basically. It was like, this concept exists, but how do I know it's real? I've never seen a gay, you know, obviously I had seen gay people, they just went out, and I still maintain that to this day. I'm still waiting for people I went to school with to come out who haven't come out.
Some people take ages, don't they? Like,
crazy. But I think we had a really tricky time of it. You know, it wasn't acceptable. It really wasn't acceptable. And we're not talking, I'm only 26. It wasn't that long ago, you know?
People don't really get it sometimes. I'm 42, right? And so when I was at school, I was out at school. Like, that was, I can't even begin to fathom how it is now. I feel like, I don't know, has it got better or worse for kids? I don't know, because they've got the internet and stuff like that. But how were you outed and what were kind of the impacts on that?
It was tricky. So I was seeing someone, a boy, and I was like, I have to end this because I'm not into it. And I think it's because I'm gay. And then he sort of just told them, and it was just horrible. It was just awful vibes. Wasn't good. Having said all that, it's probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, because I don't know if I would have had to have come out at some point, but I was so devastatingly afraid. Yeah, I think so. And it just like allowed me to just, and the world didn't end. I mean, but it wasn't great. I didn't have a great time following it, but I'm here now, and like everyone ended up fine in the end. It's how I feel about it. And so I'm not grateful it happened in that way. I would have liked to have been able to be in control more of my own narrative. But you know, it's just one of those things. It's one of those things you sort of that happens. And now I love, and I'm back in Cardiff and I absolutely love it here. It's just like the best. It's basically a different place. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It looks like Cardiff where I grew up in, but everything has changed. The atmosphere here is completely different. And I find myself now I'm on tour, like going around all of the UK, like, longing to be back in Cardiff because I it feels like home. It's amazing.
There were two places, there was a survey the other year, there were two places in the UK where they said there's a huge queer community percentage wise, and I was so surprised, like Cardiff was right at the top, and I think Lincoln was as well.
Yeah, Lincoln's quite, I've never been to Lincoln.
I think it's kind of like, but like Brexity gay.
Is it? Oh, I see. Cardiff's not like Brexit. Cardiff isn't.
I wouldn't say Cardiff was, but I think Lincoln, by definition, really? Brexit gay, from what I've heard. Yeah, I feel bad saying that.
It's such a specific breed, isn't it? Like the Brexit gays.
What, like these gays that vote reform? Like most gay men apparently go vote reform. Have you not heard about this?
Yeah, oh, babe, I've seen them. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of mad. Like, what are you doing? Like, girl, this is not, they don't care about you. They're never going to love you. Like,
well, what do you think draws them to it? Like, queer people, and it's queer, it's gay men a lot of the time, isn't it?
I think,
they're still men.
I think it's a longing to fit in still with, like, whatever the norm is to be considered normal. And so, you know, you go into those spaces and say, well, I feel fine when I'm in these spaces, because of course you can present in a certain way that people are fine with it, but the parties like that aren't fine with you, really. They don't you think you and your husband are going to be married if reform get in, good luck to that. That won't exist anymore. That's gone, baby, that's gone. And like, I sort of want to shake these people because they go, that's not what it's about, it's about immigration. I'm like, okay, well, if you're so myopic that you can only focus on your own personal circumstances and what affects you directly, just be aware that you will be affected by this. You will be affected. Your relationship, the acceptability of you in those spaces, they will put you down as fast as they pick you up, darling. Is that how I feel to these people? And I almost feel sorry.
That's the number one political choice for gay men in the UK, apparently. Is what I thought, because I'm very much green now, but reform in recent. If you just take all, we're not just talking about. So where I live, I mean, it would be a huge surprise to people if you were queer and you voted reform, and I guess kind of your friends as well. But apparently, in a survey of gay men, the number one political option was in line with the general population, it was reform. And that's been going through my head so much.
I think there's also an element of that to thinking that you're doing some sort of, I really don't hate people who think reform is the answer.
I don't hate them.
I feel completely stupid. Gutted for them, because I think it's this idea they're trying to set, and these are people who've got billions of pounds to sell this idea, mind you, from all these millions of billionaires.
Oil.
To sell this idea of anarchy, to sell this idea of you're overthrowing, this is the alternative option. And I'm almost glad that the Green Party have become so vocal, because you're going, no, that's not what that is. It's not placards and it's not revolution. Reform is not the revolution. Reform is the state. Make no question of that. I could get political very easily. I have a lot of political opinions.
Happy for that.
But I just think that there's a big fat line that that shouldn't be crossed, and I think that, like, just do some research. But having said that, you know, gay people, we've all I think most gay people have overcome something, and so for me to say, like, do some research, don't be so stupid, you're going to get the defense. We're defensive people because we have to be defensive people, which is why I want to put my arms around these people and go, listen, we are the same. I know you're looking at me and you think we're not the same, but we are, and the things that affect you are affecting me, and we need to rise against that. But it's not this. This is not this. This is like the bad. It's like the most Machiavellian, like Disney villain thing I've ever seen. Is reform coming in their big suits to all these villages? Caerphilly down the road from me, you know.
Yeah, there was a by-election there, wasn't there? No, reform didn't win though, did they? They come second, didn't they?
No, Plaid Cymru. Plaid Cymru won. Thank goodness for that. And then they got Gorton and Dunton, like seeing all of that and just seeing them waltzing there and there. I'm just like, how can you not recognize that? You're gay. Have you not watched a Disney film in your life? These people are the villains. These people are so obviously the villains. Just be aware of that.
It was so good to see that in Gorton and Denton, though, wasn't it? I mean, what are you... We're big fans of Zach Plantagi on this show. I can say one of my proudest moments was when we did a TikTok clip on. Going on about reform and laughing about, them just being idiots. And Zach Polanski, he re-TikToked it, whatever they call it. And I was like, I'm going to die a happy person now.
I went to go, this is my biggest flex, about Christmas-ish last year. I went to go and follow Zach Polanski on Instagram and he was already following me.
That was
a real moment. We're back when he had whatever it was, 90,000 followers. He was following, and I followed him, and now he's, you know, king of the world. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of him. I think he's a good person. And I think, you know, people, question politicians and their integrity and their truth. And I think that's right. We shouldn't worry about politicians. Of course we should. And I think the thing that makes me like Zach Polanski is he is someone who says, absolutely, we should question politicians and worry about politicians because they are the people making decisions. So yeah, I mean, I really, really rate Zach Polanski. You know, my position is tricky because I'm in Wales. And so our political landscape is slightly different. But you know, I really despair about reform, but I do hope, I think people are waking up to what they're doing, which is wearing, literally they might as well walk into like villages wearing, you know, those like comic glasses with a mustache and a big nose and being like, literally, we are the good, we're just like you. Like they might as well do that because that is what they're doing in everywhere.
Is it working? I don't get how it's working.
I don't know how much longer it will work for. I think people are realizing that they've been,
we've got three more years, haven't we? I don't think they're going to still be peaking in 3 years. Fingers crossed they're not.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I mean, I hope not. Like I hope, yeah. I don't think so. I think it's a challenge, but everything we know about politics has changed now. Like that is very much true. The two-party system
is truly dead.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know what's going to happen. I think all we have to do is be vocal about these things and like demand honesty in our news and on social media, which is very difficult to do when it's all being run by billionaires who, you know, clearly have no regard for the truth and facts. It's tricky. Scary times.
Yeah, it's scary. I'm struggling to find a positive narrative or anything except for the performance of the Greens. I'm just like, oh please,
yeah,
fucking hell.
Me too. Yeah,
everything from beginning to end. And I feel like Zach Polanski, as a Jewish gay man, is perfectly positioned to comment on so many things that so many other people are locked out of Israel incredibly.
Precisely, and he's so good at platforming other people. And I think, you know what, a party that's literally being run by a woman, a gay man, and a Muslim man, and a gay Jewish man, might I add, is very best, well placed to reach the right people in this country right now. The people that are being disillusioned, and the people that Reform are trying to pick up with their evil claw of nastiness, you know. I think you can. I think the only thing stronger than hate is love, and I think that
exactly
leading with that can't go too wrong, you know.
They're the only people offering any kind of real hope, and we haven't seen that in a long time, and I just hope it works out. I want to take you back to the show and the baby, and if the baby in this story grows up and watches the show, what do you hope that they take from it, and is there anything that you're a bit kind of nervous about?
No, I'm nervous that she'll be like, oh my God, mum, you're so cringe. You're like glitter on your face and your stupid makeup and like dancing around. That's embarrassing. Like that's what I'm anticipating. And that's fine. I'm embarrassing to her. That's my job, is to be embarrassing to her. But in terms of like the narrative of the story and the way she was made, I hope and I think she'll be proud of it. You know, she comes from like a bunch of people who just absolutely were willing her existence into this world. And, you know, it worked, and thank God, she's just the best. I think she'll be fine, and I think she won't have questions because she knows that everybody involved, she knows where she comes from, she knows that everybody wanted it so badly, and I just think a lot of kids don't have that, and they end up all right. Most of them end up all right, and they don't have that, and mine does have that. So I think actually she's just going to be the most well-adjusted, boring child in the world, which is actually great. Eventually, yeah, she's 100% going to end up being an accountant. No comedy for her. She'll be like, I'm very well-adjusted and don't need the approval of strangers from signing on a stage. That's what I predict for my child.
All of my queer friends who've got kids, so I'll take you back to my sister-in-law, who's done exactly this twice now, and maybe for a third. The kids are the most well-adjusted kids, and emotionally adjusted kids and well cared for kids. And I always think, like, straight people, like, only have to kind of fucking touch each other in a sexy way and someone gets pregnant out the blue.
Yeah.
I go, oh, well, we'll keep it. And I'm like, what? Mm. Why? The seriousness of that decision, yet queer people have to, like, the effort that we have to put in emotionally, like, financially and everything to get to the point of being queer, of being parents, you're already loved, I think, more than a lot of people who just went, oh, shit, pregnant again. How did that
I think we're really... Yeah, we're lucky that, I mean, we all went to therapy together before we did any of this.
Really? You know, like a group therapy session?
Yeah, we did. And just I guess it was therapy, it was counselling, I guess, be like, are you all on board with this? And this, you might end up feeling like this, you might end up feeling like that. And it just, we're so lucky that our arrangement works perfectly for all of us. But like, we're all really good communicators, I think, because we're, you know, hashtag woke snowflakes, we talk about things with each other all the time, so any questions or anything comes up, we can have those discussions. Just nothing has, we're just all having a very lovely time, you know, adoring this kid who has made our lives exponentially better and more fun, you know, and we eat a lot more ice cream than we used to, which is always a benefit, I would say.
So to wrap up, what's next, what's the plans?
Five more kids? No, can you? No, thank you.
Do you want another kid? Now. Another kid? Two kids?
One more in a long time. And I certainly will not be carrying that child. Let me tell you that.
Is that the agreement?
That is the agreement. Yeah.
That was the agreement with my sister-in-law
that's
as well.
That's gone now. Thank you. I know, thanks. You know, but who knows? Maybe we'll adopt. You know, there's lots of options. And I've just we've realised that we're actually really cool, great parents. And so however we end up, we'll be fine. I think when the first one, you're so like, oh my God, what if I don't do this? And, da, da, da. And I'm like, it's actually fine. The kid's going to be fine. What's next? Oh, I'm writing a musical. That's my next thing. I'm writing a big fat musical that I...
Tell us about it before we wrap up then.
I can't say too much because it's in early days.
But I love it when people say too much. That's what I'm here for.
It's a new musical that I'm writing about a woman-run removals company. And that's what it's about. And it's called Boxes, is the working title. And I think that's where I should end what I'm saying. But I'm very excited. That's my
next
big project.
Any songs in the can? Anything come to you in the shower?
Yeah, Boxes. That's exactly what the you've leaked the song. That's what's happened there. You've leaked it. I'm really excited about that. That's my next big thing, I think. But I've got other bits of mobs that I am sworn to secrecy about, I'm afraid.
Okay, you would have to kill us, I'm sure.
I would. And I couldn't do that. Do you? No, no way.
Thank you. That's very thoughtful.
Not knowing it, that you're a dog person.
I'm a dog person, doesn't wear the masks. That's the only detail. Layla, it's been a really fun chat. Really interesting as well.
Gosh. Thank you so much for chatting with me. Thanks, Graham. Really lovely chat. I love what you guys are doing. So thanks for having me.
Queer politics, sex, and culture. Outcast world.
Stay with me. This is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.